Welcome to Sestercast, the Orphan Black podcast. I'm Jean McDonald, and I'm rewatching this series for the third time. My co-host Kathy Campbell is watching for the first time, and so we make a point not to spoil any storylines beyond the episode we are currently discussing. Oh, Kathy, what a spoiler.
Yeah, so I was spoiled because of a stupid BuzzFeed article that Mrs. S was going to die. It was a recent one, like maybe a month or two ago, I was spoiled on it. And so, of course, I'm like, Jean!
I know.
Oh, man. And so it was definitely emotional. But I'm kind of glad that this spoiler hit me. It allowed me to really enjoy this episode because I could tell that it was coming. When I read the article, it was surprise deaths that happened in shows hurt the worst or something like that. And so I'm just scrolling through and I saw that S died, but I didn't. And so I clicked away really quickly. And so I didn't really picture what she was wearing or what she was looking like or where she was, because I didn't want to have more specific spoilers in my brain as I was watching the show. But as this episode progressed, knowing that she was going to die, I could see the setup that they had prepped in this episode. So the emotions that she has, like when Sarah kisses her cheek and says thank you, and the note she's writing as she's crying, like all of these things in place were really setting it up. Additionally, she looked absolutely gorgeous this entire episode, which was beautiful. That lip color is perfect for her. And so that really helped lay the foundation that I was like, okay, coming to terms with it. And then the scene that it happened on was just brilliant and perfect. But we're not going to talk about that yet. No. 'Cause there's a whole other episode to go before it comes. But yeah, it's spoilers alert for the spoiler. I knew it was coming, but I didn't know what was happening or how or why or any of that. And so this big spoiler came at the right time, I guess you could say.
Right. So the episode is Orphan Black's season 5, episode 8, which means after this, there's only two more to go. And the title is Guillotines Decide. There are no actual guillotines in this episode, but you know that because you've watched it already. And
yeah.
But there are guillotines in the poem Protest from Ella Wheeler Wilcox. And it is a good line where she writes, "Had no voice been raised against injustice, ignorance, and lust, the Inquisition yet would serve the law, and guillotines decide our least disputes." Okay. And with that, this episode is mostly about the Mrs. S family and Mrs. S's, you know, story arcing to the end.
Yes.
But there is some new Helena information, which is important, to say the least. And yeah, it's definitely setting up, like, we're on that roller coaster. It was cranking up to the top, and this is more cranking to the top. And then episode 9 and 10 will just be like, whoa. It drops. But yeah, to get to that point, we got to move Helena out of the convent. Yeah. There's Gracie and Helena in Helena's convent room, and Gracie is sad and apologizing and generally being like the little mouse that she is and saying, "I just had nowhere else to go. I have no family left." And Helena puts Gracie's hand on her belly and says, "You have still family." They are saying hello. And it was very sweet. And it definitely is a turning point for Gracie because we know she's not at the convent for honest purposes.
Right. We are fairly certain she is there because Mark wants her to be, needs her to be, et cetera, et cetera. For when she first shows up, there was a small part of me that was like, oh, she's there to tell Helena to get out so Mark can't follow or some process. And then I was like, no, that's not Orphan Black. That's not how that's going to go. And so they still had a very good moment. Helena is really good at being welcoming, but still on guard.
Yeah, that's true. Although she does leave Gracie alone in her room when she goes to do something for Sister Irina. And I think that was a setup.
Absolutely.
And Grace calls Mark over on Dr. Moreau or Dr. Westmoreland's Island. But surprising us, I think, she tells him she hasn't found Helena. And because she now realizes that, you know, she has this bond with Helena and with her unborn children, and she doesn't want to be a total weasel. And so she very unconvincingly lies about finding Helena. But we see Mark and Cody together, and they're just like, yep, she's totally lying.
They know what's going on. Like, they, yeah, Grace is not a very good liar, which is fine.
Yeah.
But yeah,
Don't put Grace on your covert ops team if you have a.
Yeah, no.
If there's ever an Orphan Black draft and we have to choose teams, Gracie's getting picked close to last.
I mean, we are on the incomparable, so I feel like we need to do a draft at some point. But yeah, Gracie's not going to win on. She'd win for cleaning, though, because, you know, clean floor, dirty heart.
Oh, yes, what a line. Clean floor, dirty heart. Helena comes in and she has the phone with Mark's message on it where Mark is saying, like, you got to find Helena, Gracie, so that, you know, I can be cured and we can be together. And Gracie totally apologizes and she says, I didn't tell them, I lied, I said you weren't here. And Helena and you and me are both going, well, duh, but you used a cell phone that they're totally tracing and they, you know, they totally know where you are now. And as Helena says, we have to leave. And Helena's prepping for getting out. The next time we see her, she is coming in the front door of her room and she's saying, I have food for us. Come on, Gracie, we have to go. But at that moment, two bad guys grab Helena. And then there's Engel standing there in the room. And it's like, ugh, Engel, she's the worst. Is she the worst? I don't know. That could be part of our draft.
She's way up there. She's really up there.
Yes.
I mean, just from a rage side of things makes me angry. But yeah. That's, you know what, we gotta have people that, characters that we dislike and hate.
Yes. Otherwise it wouldn't be a show.
Right.
And, you know, all of a sudden it seems like the scene is over with Engel standing behind Gracie and saying, like, this won't hurt at all. And I'm like, you're just gonna shoot Gracie and that's it. And she does, because she's very cold in her execution of executions.
Right. Like, she's just like, there's no regret in her.
No.
There's no, I guess I have to, you know, kill her because we can't leave. She's served her usefulness and is now, you know, not. Yeah, it just, it's so sad because, you know, Mark is not going to be happy.
Yeah.
Because the whole reason that Mark came back to do this stuff was so that he could get healed. And he wanted to get healed for Gracie.
Yeah.
And now there's no Gracie. So I have a feeling that's not going to end well. I'm just predicting that.
Yeah, I forget exactly. But I do want to point out one thing that made us both laugh, which is the subtitles for the show. Okay. Whoever typed the subtitles kept saying Chrissy instead of Gracie. And I stopped on that and I thought, wait a second. And then I'm like, no, her name is totally Grace. There's no way her name is Chris.
Right.
And Gracie is her, you know, nickname, and they've been using that the whole time. And why should we expect the subtitle writers to know every detail about every character in the show? Well, maybe we should, but
yeah, I mean, at least have IMDb pulled up at the same time that you're like transcribing. But yeah, I was very confused because I knew that it was Gracie in my head because that is my dad's dog's name. Oh. So I was just like, I can tie this in. I know this character. Like I'm so terrible with like names and faces that I have to find some sort of connection type thing to keep that memory going.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just like, wait, have I gotten it wrong the entire time? And I'm like, no, I couldn't have, because I always watch Orphan Black with subtitles on so that I can make sure I get, you know, quotes correct ish. Because I get, you know, it's not 100%, but yeah, it was very disturbing in my brain.
I mean, watching with subtitles has its drawbacks, and that's one of them. The other one that, you know, does bug me and makes me end up turning them off sometimes is that the subtitle spoils the scene because they just put out the line before the person has actually said it. And it lets you know what's going to happen in the next second. And that's, you know, that throws off the whole timing.
Yeah, when the timing is not good and it either is delayed or ahead of times, it's definitely frustrating.
Yeah. So so that's Helena. We know that she is now in the clutches, literally, of Dyad and Neolution. And if you weren't expecting that to happen, then you haven't been paying attention.
Right.
To Orphan like, Black.
She was not going to give birth nicely in the convent.
Right. Right. There was going to be a baby shower with Ukrainian delicacies. And then there was going to be this birth. And that would be the end. That's how TV works.
Happily ever after. Especially in a show like Orphan Black.
Right.
But no, we did get some magic, though. Some very nice, very happy bits in true balance. I mean, once again, the writers of this show are incredible because they keep that balance. Like, there's two more episodes after this. Two. That's it. Just two. And yet, we still have, instead of this heightened end of the world, oh my goodness, we're go until we're done.
Yeah.
We still have these great moments.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just beautifully done. So beautiful. But now that we're done with Gracie and Helena and kind of set up the whole episode, let's run down last time we saw Rachel.
Oh, yes. Unfortunately, we couldn't just leave Rachel at the end of last episode with the martini glass spiked eye surgery situation. And that does get wrapped up, which is interesting because she's bleeding. She's stumbling to the elevator. She should be bleeding. And I love how they film the scene with the elevator doors opening and you just see some shoes. Did you know whose shoes those were? Did you?
No, but I had a guess.
Yeah.
I didn't immediately say, oh, of course, it's Ferdinand. But I was like, I wonder if type of a thing. And then, yes, it was. And we know that it's because Mrs. S. Okay, so my question is, like, did they did S send Fernand? I mean, she couldn't have known that she was going to pull her eye out and bleed to death.
Oh, that's a good question.
Did she just know that, like, Kira being gone would be bad? Like,
yeah, I think that, well, Kira being gone plus Rachel sent out the reveal about Dr. Westmoreland being a fraud. So she was going to be the one with the target.
Yeah.
And she needed a, you know, person to come and help her clean things up, literally and figuratively. And there's no better cleaner than Fernand.
True. Very, very true. He is a very good cleaner.
He's a good cleaner. He's a good cook. Handy around the house, that Fernand. So they show a scene where there's some doctor, we assume he's a doctor, but he's performing special surgery on Rachel's eye socket in a hotel room. And it's like, please stitch that thing up and can we be done with the whole eye thing? Because come on, how many eye injuries can we take?
It's the extra squishiness of it is the hard part.
Mm-hmm. And then it is revealed Fernand is there and Rachel is saying, how did you know? And we know it was Mrs. S. And also, I believe this is the point where we understand that Mrs. S's other source has been Fernand all along.
Yes.
Which I had forgotten. You know, they kept saying, you know, Sarah was trying to get it out of S who besides Delphine did S have feeding them information on things like where to find Cody. It turned out that he was very familiar with where to find Cody because he put her there.
Right.
In the mental institution. And boy, I mean, if they ever did like follow up like DVD extras, I would like to see the scene where Fernand captures Cody and drops her off in a mental institution.
You know, he would be his charming self as he like flips her down onto the ground with a leg in the back to like, who knows? But it would have been, yes, it would be magical.
We can write some Fernand fanfic, maybe. But we need some time to get over this episode.
not anytime soon.
Yeah, it'll be a while. So, and one of the things that happens next, so they're constantly cutting back and forth now between Dyad and Neolution and what's going on with Mrs. S and Sarah. But one of the things that happens right before the credits is Sarah's looking out the window. You know, they've just rescued Kira and nobody is coming after them. And Sarah's like, it's too quiet. I don't like it. And I think that's an important theme going into the finale as well. It's like, how can Sarah get grounded, right? And take a night off and chill out? Because if she's always going to be on, you know, full alert all the time, it's going to be a pretty stressful life for her.
Yeah.
Anyway, but that's later stuff that we'll want to look at. Meanwhile, Sarah introduces Kira to Charlotte, which is
so
very
cute,
right? And I hadn't realized they hadn't met before, which is cute. Then I'm glad they brought the two of them together so that Kira could say, whoa, you look like my mom used to look like.
Right. I loved that bit because it just kind of has a re-foundational moment of confirming that, hey, this Charlotte is a clone too.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of gets lost because really Charlotte doesn't look like the character that plays Charlotte does not look like Tatiana.
No.
At all.
No, she really doesn't.
And I love it that we're having Art is taking care of them. Like, I love that. He's taking her, both girls, to his ex-wife.
Yeah. And, you know, we love Art and we like to see him involved. And I feel safer when art is in the picture.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think the next scene is Cosima and Delphine. And we get so much good Cosima and Delphine in this episode. They're on the research side of what's going on with Dyad and Neolution. And they're pointing out that all these countries have pending legislation that's going to require their citizens to submit their DNA, which does sound like a nightmare scenario.
Yeah.
Cosima, you know, she wants Delphine, though, to play with her. She says, like, do you want to spend the morning safeguarding the genetic future of the human race? Or do you want to have brunch?
Yeah. I loved it. It was so cute. Yeah. Just, you know, just, again, cementing the foundational relationships. This episode is really just bringing it all together to push that finale. Yeah. I love when shows have the ability to know when they're ending, because it allows them to have better episodes before the end.
No, that's a really good point. And they can really like orchestrate the whole story arc so that it ends on a satisfying note, which I would say it's no spoiler. I have said before this show ends and you go like, okay. Good ending.
Yeah.
And speaking of people we've missed, Felix is back on the scene.
Yay! Comes strutting through the doors. Hello, North American scum.
Yeah.
Just so beautiful. Like, it's such a great way to come in. And you know that in this scene, Sarah had forgotten about the art opening.
Yeah.
Because obviously she's had a few things to think about, but you can see how S is kind of not forcing, but definitely pushing this art opening and how we're going to take a day off from crazy without any Sestra shenanigans. Yeah. it really like, you know, something's up.
Yeah.
Because S is not normally going to do that.
No, that's true. And she's enforcing a day off, at least for Felix and Sarah and the other clones. And
yes,
we see them at the gallery, which is super fun because there's Allison and Donnie.
Oh my gosh.
And Donnie's like putting things up on the wall. He's like, is this the right position? Allison's like, whatever you think, Donnie, I'm not micromanaging you. But she can't help it. She's never going to be hands off. And she says, is that what you're wearing?
I loved this. It was so, so Allison and Donnie, because Donnie wants his wife to support, like to tell him what to do. Like that's what he needs in his soul.
No, it's fun. And Donnie in this episode, it's one of the funner Donnie episodes because, you know, he does get to be in some ways the life of the party because, as Felix says, you know, I need a straight man behind the bar. And Allison, you can't be here. He can't have all his Sestras together at the show. That would be no good.
No. But you know what? Felix ends up making it work.
Yeah. Well, and it was kind of Allison's idea to do it. So, but before we get to that, they're at Mrs. S's house and it's Siobhan and Adele, and Sarah must be lurking around somewhere. But Siobhan is, I only bring this up because it cracked me up when Siobhan says, you ready for that whiskey? Adele, and she says, yes, but just three fingers.
Right.
Just three fingers. A little.
That's all.
A little whiskey. And
just a little.
I looked it up. A finger, you know, is kind of considered to be more than an ounce. So more than 3 ounces of whiskey, that's a triple shot.
Yeah.
So they're getting ready for the catering for Felix's event. And Mrs. S says she's got to leave to go get flowers. Okay, and we don't believe that at all. Meanwhile, over at the rabbit hole, Delphine's like, I'm going out. And we're like, oh, also very unsuspicious, Delphine going out.
they're layering it thick, which is fine. Like, yeah, that's good to have something fairly obvious to work with. And then we're at the Regent, yeah, a beautiful hotel, and Delphine is hanging out with us. And we're like, okay, this is what's up. Mm-hmm. And it's where Rachel is. Fernand opens the door, and they see Rachel is there. And so basically this is going to be a planning meeting between the four of them.
Right.
We learn that Rachel is basically the mole.
Yeah. I mean, she has records of everything.
Yeah. She's going to help utilize it. Like, Rachel has turned her back on Neolution, turned her back on Westmoreland, and ready to be back in the Clone Club, I guess you could say, kind of.
Yeah, that I think is open to debate, but she definitely wants to get back at Westmoreland and Neolution for her terrible life experiences, which we saw right in the last episode.
And the violation of her privacy and her eye. She's recognized and acknowledged the fact that when she was having the swan flashes,
yeah,
and things, she was being manipulated, which right meant that he never really trusted her to do what, I mean, this whole thing would have been completely different if he had just like acknowledged her genius, smartness, whatever, and like moved on to do her things. Like,
right,
treating her as a human being as opposed to a test subject, this whole thing would have gone completely differently.
Yeah.
And so she's using what tools she has to get back at Westmoreland, because if there's something that Rachel knows how to do, it's revenge.
Yes.
She's very good at revenge.
She is. And it, you know, she's a sympathetic character at this point, because
yeah,
we feel bad for all the stuff she went through. It doesn't quite excuse a lot of the bad things she did in this series, but at this moment, she is definitely in the category of like, we understand where
yeah
she's coming from. While all this is going on at the hotel, there's other shenanigans going on. There's Sarah trying to get Adele drunk, which is hard. So, because she wants to pump her for information.
Yeah. Sarah is trying to manipulate the situation. She knows something's right going on. She is not fooled by S. Oh, I'm going to get flowers.
Yeah.
Really? Really? Yeah. She knows. And she won't let it go because it's Sarah. And she doesn't want to relax. She can't relax because none of this, it's not safe. No one's safe. Yeah.
No, that's true. Although you go to the gallery and Felix is looking pretty safe.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Colin shows up and it's like, Colin.
I love
Colin. And he's for those who don't remember back to season one, he was the coroner, the medical examiner for Beth's body when she jumped in front of the train. And Felix and Colin had, you know, they had a little thing going for a little while there. And honestly, we never expected him to show up again, but it seems perfectly lovely and believable when he does.
Yes. And the charisma between the two of them, mm-hmm, is really magical. And it's so great to see Felix have a moment with somebody that he actually connects with, as opposed to, you know, previously we've seen him be his very Felix, very extravagant, I am going to sleep with men for money. Mm-hmm. In this, he seems very much, I'm going to have a connection with this person.
Yeah.
And they're really cute together.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're getting some cute, a lot of cuteness.
Yes.
In the relationships here. And of course, there's cute Allison trying to pretend to be Sarah.
Yeah.
With her accent. And Colin saying, like, yeah, I remember you. I ID'd your body once.
I couldn't remember this. Did Allison know about the body, like about Sarah's body being ID, like that whole plot line?
Probably not. Like that was like before Sarah hooked up with Allison and Cosima.
Yeah.
That was right in the very beginning where Sarah was pretending to be dead and they needed the coroner to sign off on that. And then it got complicated, but I don't think Colin has ever been clued in to exactly why he's seen like these identical bodies dead and alive, but.
Right. Yeah. I don't think so either, and he just rolls with
he
it
just rolls
so
with
well.
It. Cool.
He reminds me a lot of Scotty in that Scotty's just like, I'm going to take whatever and I'll drop lines. And obviously like, can I just meet a clone? And it was like, back in what, season 2, season 3? I don't even remember anymore.
It was
but
2.
Yeah.
When they were both working at Dyad, Cosima and Scotty. And Scotty didn't realize that Cosima was one of the clones. Yeah. So that was a really good reveal for him. But, season 1.
Back in the innocence of time. Yeah, I had a nice refresher of what happened in the beginning of season 1 when I listened to an episode of a show. A new podcast came out called Show Focus, where two brothers, I think they're brothers, Callum and Ewan, talk about television shows and they talk about podcasts, and it was really fun because they talked about the first 3 episodes of SesterCast, which was nice. So kind of them to do. And I agree that sometimes our shows episodes do go too long, but we just have so much to say.
Yes.
So that's heard and understood. But it was nice to like flash back to, oh yeah, this is what the start of the show was and how it existed, because we're here in season 5 and so much has happened, so much has changed, so much exists in this SesterCast world that it's still pretty cool that
that we can still like circle back and say, oh, Colin.
Once again, the freaking writers are amazing. Let's bring Colin back. Let's bring him in and not just drop him like, oh, hey, here's Colin. Remember him type of a thing, but more of a, here's a way to show for Felix and Colin to have a future potentially.
Yeah.
If they make it out alive, because who knows at this point.
We don't know what's going to happen next, but the scene takes a sharp turn when Felix is worried that his show isn't really that exciting. He's watching these guys from Switzerland that he met evaluating him and thinking, ah, I might have oversold myself. And then Allison's like, okay, then let's hype it up. Let's do something fun. Let's pretend. Let's have a clone swap. And that's when he starts bringing out as a kind of performance art, starting with Allison and saying, like, here's my sister. Let me introduce you to Hestia, goddess of home and hearth. And, you know, that goes along with his painting. And it was really fun, like, that he, for the audience at that gallery, this is Felix's one sister, and she plays all these roles. But we know this is how Felix gets to have all his sisters, or at least some of his sisters, attend his opening and participate.
Yes.
And
well, and it was really, I love that the whole Greek goddess part of it, where, you know, we have Hestia and Athena, and who's Cosima?
She's Metis. Goddess of wisdom and deep thought.
How perfect. And this just goes to show how amazing Felix is, because he's able to identify how different his sisters are and how special they are to him, and let them shine. He's not trying to make them something else or like, oh, push yourself to be a little bit more. Each time he brings them in and says, you know, be yourself, you know, and that's so, so magical. Yeah. It's just great.
And it allows Felix to sound very profound to these art dealers and say, well, identity is just a construct, boys. Which is true, but in this case, it's more than just a construct.
Right.
Back at Mrs. S's house, you know, Adele is still chopping cheese or making whatever little hors d'oeuvres. And I think, don't they need those hors d'oeuvres already?
Right.
But whatever. Probably don't want to eat what she's making now that she's in this three fingers of whiskey stage.
More than three fingers of whiskey. Like, that was just the first glass. And we've seen Sarah pouring multiple things.
Yes.
As she's getting more and more drunk, she is getting more and more angry almost at Sarah. And how furious she is that, because don't forget, they spent however long, weeks, months together, Felix and Adele, in Switzerland and in Europe, traveling around, doing their work together. And so they grew together with a bond that I'm sure Sarah's slightly jealous of, but Adele can see how special Sarah and Felix are together. You know, they've had these years to get to know each other and to grow and all of these experiences and stuff. And Adele, you know, just wants a portion of that. But she also wants Felix to be special. She wants to make sure that Felix is cared for in the way that he obviously feels for Sarah. And she's getting angry that Sarah is not excited about the show. That it's almost as if Sarah doesn't care about the art.
Right. But of course, you know, she's putty in Sarah's hands because Sarah knows how to get information out of people, even when they're hard to get information out of.
And even when they don't know what information they're not supposed to get out. Because, I mean, I don't know how much of this release of information in that Ferdinand is involved has to do with Adele not wanting to keep Ferdinand back so much as she doesn't know that he's important.
Yeah. And she sure doesn't know that he killed MK, or she'd remember him.
For sure.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's a trigger for everybody really, but for Sarah, especially the death of MK was brutal and unforgivable.
Yeah, and really, really personal, too.
Yeah.
Because MK died for Sarah.
Right.
Plain and simple. As a replacement.
That's right. Let me see. So, you know, let's go back to Rachel and Ferdinand, as long as we're talking about him. They're in the hotel. Now that he knows Rachel has this, like, gold mine of blackmail material, he's like, ooh, we can get my $3 million back and much, much more. And Rachel is saying, well, I want, you know, freedom from all of them, you know, whereas Ferdinand's talking about the fortune. This could be the fortune we dreamed of. And Rachel says, you know, we could just go somewhere warm off the grid. And Ferdinand, I didn't realize he was mocking, like, at first, but as he started talking about, like, oh, yeah, sure, flip-flops on the beach and reading old copies of Reader's Digest and dipping our toast into soft-boiled eggs. You know, this is not what Ferdinand has in mind for his golden years. And so he totally doesn't listen to Rachel.
No, not at all.
And that becomes important. I think we could just skip over to the board meeting that Ferdinand goes to. And he has this USB drive in his hand.
So Rachel has been sitting with the information. Like, she's transferring all of the data to a thumb drive. Like, here is how we can, you know, get what we want. And, you know, Ferdinand's like, we could squeeze anything we want out of those Neo pricks. and Rachel, in sort of pseudo agreeing with Ferdinand, is like, I gave Sarah her daughter back. I don't owe them anything. Right. Basically stating, yeah, let's cut ties with my Sestras. We're just going to, you know, get what we can get. But doesn't quite
work out that way. It's a beautiful scene the way it's put together, because Ferdinand comes in. He's so, you know, he's at his peak Ferdinand-ness yes. with his cocky and, you know, cultured delivery. And he's looking around at the board. People are missing, and they say, well, people have committed suicide. And he's like, right, it must be like Neolution Black Friday, which Black Friday, before it became a shopping holiday, was the stock market crash in 1929, when titans of industry, sucked in by a lie, jumped to their deaths out of office buildings on Wall Street. So it threw me off for a second. Like, I thought, a special sale for Neolution?
Right. I was so confused. Yeah. And then it clicked.
Yeah. And he talks about their owning patents in six key areas, which definitely listening to them talk about this gave me a bit of the chills too. You know, food, pharmaceuticals, cloning, gene editing, sequencing, and biosurveillance. And then I thought, wait, no cosmetics?
Right.
Crystal, what happened? Crystal. And yeah, so he thinks that Rachel and him will get a cut of every license of every one of these patents, and that's how they'll get fabulously, obscenely wealthy. And he sticks the USB drive in. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is like so many presentations either I've given or I've watched where, oh, technical difficulties, but that shouldn't happen to Ferdinand. And he really plays it well, of like Ferdinand being like at a loss for words is kind of worth the price of admission.
Absolutely.
And he, you know, he's kind of fumbling over this. And one of the board members is like, ugh, he has nothing. And there's a security guy there who moves in on Ferdinand, which never a good idea. Ferdinand overpowers him. He, you know, he gets himself out without getting killed, although he does kill other people. And he leaves. So we know he's going back to Rachel to complain yeah. about the technical difficulties. He comes to Rachel and he's like, you know, that was a death trap and you expected me to die. And Rachel, you know, says like, yeah, I gave all the info to Siobhan. I told you what I wanted, but you didn't listen to me. And I thought, yes, you ignored her. What she really wanted was to be separated from all of this, not collecting royalties on patents.
Right. All Rachel wants is to be part of the conversation, mm-hmm. really, and to be part of the agreements and to be part of the understanding. And once again, if the man in her life had paid attention to what Rachel would want, it would be yeah. a completely different story.
Yeah, that's the wrap-up of Rachel and Ferdinand. He tries to strangle her, but he doesn't, and he leaves. Meanwhile, Cosima and Delphine have all this information, and they're ready to send it. That's one of the most beautiful scenes, and kind of the bookend to the scene where Cosima discovered that they were patented organisms when Cosima and Delphine were digging into the DNA in season one. And it's a way to make computer stuff look exciting.
Yeah.
And they had all this information. They're sending it to all the regulatory oversight bodies around the world, plus Siobhan's friends at The Guardian. And they press the button together and Cosima cries and we cry too.
Oh man, it was so emotional. It was beautifully done. And just, again, it was kind of a perfect like end up. Like mm-hmm. let's put the period on this sentence, have these emotions. Great, great moment between all of them, really. It was just lovely.
So, can you believe how much they packed into this episode?
I know.
Plus the whole art gallery thing, which is kind of the overarching, you know, background to everything, because a lot of fun stuff happens. And I think, you know, there's not really too much to unpack there. Felix is having the night of his life. Everybody is loving his paintings. The Sestras come on one at a time, and that goes really well. And there's some dancing, and then there's Hell Wizard, the DJ, yes. And he gets Hell Wizard gets his moment in the spotlight, and Donnie gets to be, you know, party man. All that stuff is very fun, and they wrap it up. Siobhan finally shows up with the flowers, and Felix makes this closing remarks, talking about, you know, all the women in his life, his galaxy of women. You know, we could have ended up anywhere and we wouldn't be who we are. We are all mysterious works of chance, of choice, of nature versus nurture. And thanks for the nurture to, you know, these women. And it's just beautiful. It's, again, like if thinking of bookends, to me, it's the season 5 equivalent of the clone dance party.
Yeah.
Except there's only one clone at a time.
Right. Which is, you know, it's so great, though, because they each had their time, their moment, but then they get to leave to spend time with other people that they love.
Yes. That's true.
So that, you know, Sarah and Mrs. S and Felix have, and Adele have this moment of just beauty and gloriousness and knowing what's coming. It yeah. makes it even more heartbreaking, but having yeah. just to see how much Felix lights up when he talks about his mom.
Yeah.
You know,
and she's just, and of course they have beautiful lighting for everybody.
So oh, yes, of
everybody
course.
Everybody is just glowing. And as you pointed out in the very beginning, Siobhan has the best lipstick color. She just looks so elegant and beautiful and strong. And you just love her so much, damn it.
I know, which makes it all the – I mean, this happens when you have, you know, a beloved character die. You – when it's done well, you have these moments of beauty thrown in the episodes, and it's just kind of so great.
Yeah. We just have to get to the ending. Rachel tips off Siobhan, telling her to be careful. And Siobhan goes home, but she comes in the back door and she's armed and she's sure that Ferdinand is there, and he is. And I love the blocking of the scene yeah. so much, because it's, you know, this big, big old drafty Victorian house with a front hallway and stairwell and a front parlor that is only separated by a wall. So they show Ferdinand and Siobhan, guns drawn, you know, standoff where he's in the foyer by the stairwell and she's, you know, in the hallway. And as they're talking, they manage to move to the parlor. Like, it's like a trick.
It's a beautiful dance is mm-hmm. what it is.
Yeah. I just pictured them like rehearsing that and getting that down because.
Oh, yeah. They've read the script so that they know that this is the end. They know what's going to happen. They know that yeah. this is the ending of their characters. Yeah. And so I'm sure they wanted to get it perfect. And right. they wanted to get it right. And so having that beautiful dance of death, basically, because here's mm-hmm. these two characters that have met on the battlefield before. They know each other's like strengths and weaknesses mm-hmm. and it just becomes this, yeah, Just a dance of death.
It's a dance with a lot of guns. Yes. because it's like, who has the most guns stashed away? Right. It becomes the next question. So they have their repartee about what is going on. And Ferdinand, he's already cased the house, or he thinks he has. So when he sees Siobhan going for this one shelf, he says, oh, are you going for your gun? The one that I already took the clip out of.
Right. He's like, she's like, oh yeah, let me get them for you since you have a gun on me. Yeah. It was just.
Yeah. And so you think, okay, so Ferdinand has the upper hand. And then, you know, he says like, yeah, Siobhan, if you're going to have a hidden gun, you have to have one close on you. And he pulls out a gun from his Lord knows where, his underwear.
I forget. Probably like the small of the back.
Yeah. There,
you know, there's a holsters that you can have there. Right.
Yeah, that makes more sense. And they, and he's got this pistol, and she's like starting to make a comment about it, and he shoots her.
Bam,
like that. So when I saw this, obviously I didn't know because it hadn't been on yet.
Right.
So there were no spoilers on the internet. And, you know, this is why when Orphan Black was wrapping up, you would watch every episode as soon as it came out, because there were just going to be so many spoilers if you weren't careful. And, yeah, I was like, oh, whoa. I didn't know she was going to die. I think probably at that moment I thought she's going to kill Ferdinand and she might get injured and it'll be a big deal. But I didn't expect her to get shot right through the heart.
No.
At close range like that.
The whole fact that he shoots her in the heart and like the arterial blood is what's going, and they're talking about this and like, you know, you're going to die slowly, but you're definitely going to die. Like there's next to no way to survive that type of blood loss, unless you can immediately get into surgery. And obviously Ferdinand's not going to call 911. Like that's not going to happen.
No. yeah. And they're talking about that. And she says to him, like, can you just do this one thing for me? Can you get me this picture? And it's a picture of Felix and Sarah, a nice, you know, framed portrait, which that's what this episode opened on, is Siobhan looking at the portrait. So, you know, there were a lot of things being telegraphed all through. And he picks it up and then he's like, no way. Yeah. And he drops it. But Siobhan is, of course, distracting him. And she does have yet another gun tucked away in the chair that she's sitting in. And she pulls it out and shoots him in the throat, as she said she would.
Right.
It's almost like a pool table game where she's already called, you know, that ball in the corner pocket. And, and she does exactly what she said she would do, is shoot him in the throat, which mercifully for everyone means he can't talk anymore.
Right. He's trying so hard to talk and like grab at his throat, which is understandably very bloody and like gurgly and just like whatnot. And S has this poignant moment of just saying chickens,
yes,
which if you see it transcribed somewhere or you haven't seen the show, you're just like, chickens? What? Like, there's a major disconnect. But when she says it and has that moment of, you know, you know, maybe not everything, but you know a lot of things that she has done for her children.
Mm-hmm.
Upended from the UK, ran away to Canada, like, all of the, she left everything that she knew for her babies. Like, she didn't die until she took care of pretty much one of the last major threats.
Yep.
That she didn't have control over. Like, yeah. There was no other plans in place to really take care of Ferdinand. I mean, they were in charge. I mean, Rachel thought that she could take care of him, but didn't, and knew that he was going to go after S. And so she was able to, like, put that warning in place, but she couldn't do anything. She's still recovering majorly and yeah. from a major chokehold, too. So, like, she did what she could do. But S has done everything she ever has, sacrificed so much for her babies. And this last moment, it just, if she had to die, this was the way to die.
Yes. Did you know Ferdinand was going to die? Like, because that wasn't probably one of the surprising deaths.
No, it wasn't one of the surprising parts. But, like, I had hoped he would, just because I knew that it wouldn't end well if he didn't.
Yes.
Like, he kind of had his time to say goodbye, too. I mean, obviously, it's not as poignant or emotional in this entire episode. But having that connection with Rachel and being able to, like, reaffirm the fact that he doesn't listen, and then run off to S, like, it was the show's way of saying goodbye. And you sent me a great video of from previous season where, you know, Fernand's just talking about all sorts of things, and it just was a great way to finish off Fernand's character life. And once again, he's so bloody charming and so evil that it just kind of balances perfectly. It's it's a great balance.
No, they had to both die, and her death had to be way more meaningful and dramatic, and his had to be, you know, kind of ignoble and pathetic.
Yes.
And then the balance was yet achieved again.
Yeah. So good.
Two more episodes, Kathy.
How are they gonna? I don't know. We don't know how it's gonna be wrapped up and said goodbye and all of this, and it's gonna be, oh man. But I'm so grateful for this journey with you, Jean, and I'm.
Oh, Sestra.
Get to the end. Sestra, I love you.
You make me cry, Sestra. Oh, yeah. Well, we got a lot of Helena, as you can imagine. Cannot, like, go out without having some major Helena action. Because she has the babies, after all.
Yes. She's been tucked away in a convent for long enough. Let's get Helena back in this show.
Let's bring out the Helena we know and love and fear.
Yes. Oh, but something I don't fear is you, listeners. We love you so much. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Sestercast. You can find us online at sestercast.com. We are on Twitter at Sestercast. Jean is at MacGenie on Twitter and micro.blog, and I am at Mrs. Soup. And we hope you all have an absolutely amazing day.